Dear listeners, as you know, we have conversations that run the cultural gamut. Last week, we had a conversation about blackface. We think it's important to have open dialogue on big and sensitive cultural topics alike, but due to the format of our show, we couldn't have as nuanced of a conversation as we think the subject deserves, so we decided to pull the recording. We've kept the second half of the conversation about the benefits of the gig economy, and we're excited to share that with you now. As always, if you have any thoughts or questions, please drop us a line at criticalnonsense@sylvanlabs.com. Okay, that's it. Let's do this thing.
And we had a ukulele palate cleanser.
Do we announce it?
Yeah, every time.
Every time we got to.
We're so surprised.
Until we change it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's talk about the gig economy.
Change of pace.
Yeah, I like this switch.
That's a natural segue.
I'm ready to gab about the gig.
No, I've been wondering recently about the gig economy because I have some fears as it relates to the gig economy, and I think...
What is it?
The gig economy is the economy of gigs.
Okay.
Lame. It is, you know, the freelance economy, contract work economy, basically not having permanent work and working on sort of short-term, part-time basis, whatever, as an individual contractor working with different companies to perform some job. But there are starting to be some conversations about who's winning in the gig economy, mm-hmm. right? Is it exploitative? Mm-hmm. But as I look around in our industry, right, we're in consulting, but there's sort of broader client services industry. Increasingly, people are choosing to turn to freelance as a choice, right? That is the sort of preferred option. My question is, who's benefiting in the gig economy?
Well, not me. Well, because I'm a full-time, so I'm not in the gig economy. But it's a good question. So much of, you know, the way that we talk about, I feel like the gig economy as a phrase has been something that in our like kind of creative and consulting and agency world comes up a lot, because a lot of people look at freelance work and are trying to figure out how to make work flex to their life rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
But like technically, especially when you look at data from like the Freelancers Union and things like that, there's so many other types of work that are lumped into that. When I worked at Structure back in the day, nay, Express Men. Oh yeah, we're going way back. Thanks, Les Wexler. I technically could have been arguably a part of the gig economy because I was a short-term worker. I didn't have health insurance. I didn't have full benefits or anything like that, but it was a job that I could flex to meet my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think that that's what we're talking about? Is that included, do you think?
I think it's probably included. But when I started we've been hiring.
Sylvan Labs.
If you're interested. And as we've gone
/ careers. Yes.
Yeah. SylvanLabs.com/careers if you're interested.
Bing.
But we've been hiring. And so, you know, you do a round of outreach, and over the years of working in the industry, you make friends, you meet new people. And as you reach out to them, like, hey, how's it going? Like, where are you at? I'm increasingly getting the response, like, I'm choosing to do freelance now. I decided I don't want to work full time. I want to work in freelance. In theory, right, this provides you temporal flexibility, the ability to not have to work every day if you don't want to, based on however you set up your contracts. But I was also thinking about, it brought up this study that I had read a few years ago from a Harvard professor, which it always comes back to Harvard. They just do a really good job on promoting their studies, I guess.
True.
Named Claudia Golden, and she had done a big analysis on the pay gap. She wanted to understand, like, the pay gap is a thing. We know it in the data, but why is it a thing? Like, is there some underlying structure? And what she found was not systemic discrimination in the way that we would think it, it was more insidious, is more like cultural discrimination, because the discrimination was actually on how much you were willing to work and what job you chose based on your need for temporal flexibility. So if you have two lawyers who went to the same Ivy League school, even, let's say, right, one lawyer decides that she's going to have children, and the other lawyer, woman or man, decides that they're not going to have children. The one that doesn't have children can go into one of like the high power firms where they're expected to work 60 hours a week or 70 hours a week. The woman who has children might go in-house counsel for some company and can work 40 hours a week and has a certain level of flexibility in her schedule. That's where the biggest gap was showing up in the pay gap data that she analyzed. And what I was thinking about is, in this case, we have a huge cohort of people who are deciding, I want temporal flexibility. I want to be able to choose my own schedule. Maybe I don't want to work in-house anywhere consistently. I want new experiences, whatever it is. But what are we sacrificing if we make that decision? And I mean, I have some questions on it, but I don't know. But it feels like you're giving up something by choosing to enter the gig economy.
Yeah.
And some people aren't choosing it.
Well, that was going to be my thank you for opening up the door for me, Joey.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, certainly the ability to have that flexibility is one of any different types of privilege that someone just has. You know, whether you've got the family wealth or something like that in order to not be reliant on steady health care or steady additional support, whether you have the privilege, you have male privilege where you're given culturally more opportunity to keep going and quote unquote not slow down. Like all of these things are real, and all these things have a really strong impact on one's comfort in taking on that flexibility. And also, I can't get over the thing specifically about healthcare. Like when you are managing all of your own, all of the things that come along with retirement and healthcare related expenses that are usually covered by a full-time employer and are usually covered in your day-to-day, those are both such wormholes of time, energy, and money themselves that you have to face. You have to have the time and resources to handle all of those other things.
Yeah.
And that is something that most people should not have to take on. Well, that's revealing my point of view on that one, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so can I ask you a question?
No.
Absolutely not. That's not what this show is about.
No, we sit in silence and stare out the window.
It sounds great.
Never mind. That was going to be Dido. Please go.
Do you think as part of some, like, so say, for the sake of this hypothetical question, you're doing a job like us or in sort of client services arena. Maybe you work at an advertising agency, or maybe you work at a big four consultancy or whatever, but you make the decision, I want to go freelance. Do you think that your career can still advance from that choice? Like, can you... I sort of have this suspicion, and I have nothing to prove it out other than sort of me thinking it through and just my intuition, that wherever you leave a full-time position and enter into freelance, there's a greater chance that you're going to get stuck at that level. Wherever, you know, so if you're a very senior person, you go out, great. But say you have 7 years of experience and you leave to go freelance, that time where you're freelance, you're not getting the opportunity to advance in responsibility, or I don't know.
I think it depends on what type of growth one is seeking and how strong they are at sharing the story of that growth. And I think what's tricky is that employment in general is very much about titles, is very much about rungs. And so if you're able to walk into a room and say, I am this thing, then people are going to assume a certain amount of expertise that you have. If you, and that's conferred upon you by the employer. If you have to, and what the gig economy forces people to do, create a book of work that has to prove what expertise you have and in what ways you are strong, and in what ways people can rely on you to deliver something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you can create and sell that book, you can prove that book, then you can absolutely do that. And I think it's a skill, arguably, that doesn't come up in most formal education. It's in like art school you learn about that, and perhaps in creative industries you learn about that. But I think it's a question about how do you learn about those things that you can do that?
Well, that's, I feel like, the key is if you either have that competence or are capable of learning those new skills, there's actually a freedom to make your own title. Because no, you don't have anyone else who has to tell you what it is. You can be like, yeah, sure, I'm a filmmaker, mm-hmm. and I taught myself how to make films, and here they are, or whatever. And by working not in just in one space, but by supposedly freelancing, right, your network is going to exponentially expand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find people who are willing to rely on your competence or your ability to teach yourself to do something, in that sense, I think it's more of a test of how good you are. If you can mm-hmm. advance your career without sort of that stable line, you must be really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's extend the metaphor of what freelance is coming from, like mercenaries in wars, right? Literally a free as in available mm-hmm. lance, as in someone with a big ass spear.
Mm-hmm.
And that metaphor, if you brought in freelancers to your army, they're not going to be the general, right? Like, you're not going to put them in charge of making major decisions. You're going to put them like at the front line where the things that you don't want to be doing are.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there is still an opportunity to advance in that situation. It's just like a question I've been thinking of, like, you are more likely to get like the shit work potentially, right? Or like the work that someone else doesn't want to do, or
unless you are the sage in this circumstance. Yep. Right, so yep. It's either you're going to be on the bottom of the totem pole or at the very, very top, because yeah. you can come from the outside and they will look to you as a person who just knows more, right? And so in the example of someone with a big ass spear with like all the different cool beads that you collected over your many killings, I don't know,
many ears on your belt.
That's right. Or horns on your, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In that situation, there's almost like a mysteriousness that adds to your potential clout in a mm-hmm. situation, mm-hmm. right? This outsider might know better.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, to be fair, the way that we use freelancers is we tend to actually just ask them to be part of our teams where they can. But the flip side is, you know, like when you're doing that freelance in this war metaphor that I'm not really enjoying, that I'm still pushing forward, like you might have like, cavalry freelance, right? Like, so the other thing is that you might get pushed into more and more specificity of a skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Like I only do these things, and obviously there are exceptions to any of these things, but it's just what I've been thinking about. The flip side of this, of who benefits outside of sort of the individuals choosing to do this, is are the companies that are sort of pushing towards this gig economy getting more out of it than the people choosing to go into it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are ways that could be happening as well. Like, they're not having to pay for health insurance. They're, you know, there's like sales tax related to income that is, if you're paying a salary to someone, that you don't have to pay that tax if you're paying a contractor, right?
Yeah, but there's such really strong efficiencies that come, excuse me, there's such strong efficiencies that come from people who know each other and who have learned
exactly.
to like mesh with each other over a longer period of time, that like, I do think that companies actually have to balance the need to have specialists come in who have this specific set of ears on their belt. And it's such a terrible metaphor. And make sure it's balanced with a sort of solid base of community that knows how to work within itself.
Yeah. The thing that I've always thought about, as I've been a freelancer in like a permanent position with the intent for full time two different occasions, but I've never in those situations had the intent to like go to some next freelance job. I was like trying to get a full-time job. The thing about freelance that's always scared me is like the potential for isolation, or like where people are like, I get to work from home and only wear sweatpants, and you know, like maybe they have to go see clients sometimes, but oftentimes they get to like work alone. And that is like terrifying to me. That is like, like the scariest thing you could tell me is that you're sitting at home alone all day and you don't see anyone and you just have to talk to yourself. Like I'd be like, oh, sorry. Like, can't do it.
You just have Mary Tyler Moore silently playing in the background during your calls, and then occasionally turn it on a little bit louder.
Yeah.
Rhoda comes through. It can be really reasonable. This is coming from someone who's never freelanced, but
yeah, exactly.
And actually, I think that part of that energy, part of that dynamic of like you spend your time alone, makes me think that there is a very, very hazy line between a freelancer and an entrepreneur. Like that's very much one in the same, I think.
Yeah.
And to your, you know, comparison about people never becoming the general, I think it's just like one day you just decide, oh, I'm a general. I'm going to actually get my army. Okay, let's do this. And it's just a change in what you want in that moment.
Yeah.
And it is about like, I think maybe right now, I just want to be really, really good at sharpening and keeping the whetstone ready to go.
Right.
But I have enough knowledge, background, and community to go ahead and storm the castle when I'm ready to.
Yeah, it's also a question of motivations to your point, right? Like maybe someone, you don't want to be the general, or you don't, you know, like
you don't like, need to be the general.
Have fun. I'll just show up with my big ass spear when you need me.
Like I'm good. I'm good,
call.
Y'all.
I'm on call, just drinking my grog.
Grog-a-log.
Critical Nonsense is a Sylvain Labs production.
Recorded in MacGyver Studios in beautiful New York, New York.
As always, we're brought to you by executive producer and big-ass spear enthusiast. Why are you always an enthusiast?
Every time it's enthusiast. Jess Vander.
Yeah.
I'd also like to thank, fifth member of CSNY, sound engineer Alex Contel.
Designer Nora Mestrich for her arsenal of cute weapons.
And the other folks who probably performed along with Dido a few decades ago. Sorry, Gilbert, Les Jacobs, and Tony Vong. Thanks, y'all.
And as always, thanks, Alin.
Thank you.
And of course, there's special thanks to be given.
Of course. Who?
Primarily, I'd like to thank Aaron Powers for his Neil Young impression.
Yeah, it was something.
It may have been cut out from the episode, so unclear, but if it was, you missed out.
And you know what? I'd like to thank Alicia Ridenour in college, who actually helped me learn about CSN. So thanks, Alicia. That was really nice of you.
Jess, do you have any special thanks to give?
Way to put me on the spot, Joey.
I'd like to give special thanks to The Spot for always being on it.
Yeah.
That feels right. I'd also like to thank Zac Efron, because you should always give thanks to Zac Efron.
I'd also like to thank Pizza Hut Pizza in 1992 when it was still buttery and crispy.
You know what? I'd like to thank Domino's, because I just had that 2 days ago.
Okay, and also topically, I'd like to thank Sylvain Labs for hiring me after freelancing for so long.
Yeah!
Woo! You're hired! Yay! Give us your ears.
That's so true. All of them. Ooh, I'd like to thank Grog.
A log. For a logging.
Helplessly hoping her are looking hovers nearby, awaiting a word.
You know, I think afternoon recording is really hard.